from the Palatial Pride 48 Studios, high atop the universe, it's time for Dubious Intent to come screaming at you through Tay Interwebs. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever the time of day it is where you are, we're glad you've joined us today. Dubious Intent is brought to you by Kevin Jonas. When you can't remember who the third fucking Jonas brother is, it's Kevin Jonas. Check him out on the web at kevisjonas.com, kevinjonas.com. And don't forget to use the special listener checkout code, Who Am I, for a amnesic discount. Welcome to Dubious Intent. I am Daniel Brewer, and I am joined from the Kevin Jonas free state of Arkansas by the one and only Mr. Adam Burns. Hello, Adam.
I don't think... I forgot what I was going to say. I don't think amnesic is a word.
I'm doing excellent. Thank you for asking. I'm pretty sure that amnesic is indeed a word.
I feel like I was having amnesic there for a second. Right. I couldn't even remember. I was like, I've got the perfect line to say. I've got it. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden it just left my head. Like it wasn't
zipped,
there.
Zipped right out of your head.
Also, I want to say, I'm going to mention it right now.
Yes.
We've done Dubious Intent live before, but it's a little bit nerve-wracking to have. So we have a live audience on Zoom at the moment.
We do.
And having all these faces stare at me I'm not used to. It's like, oh my God.
It's like, it's like being at a sex party and this, you know, everyone's being a wallflower. It's very, very intimidating. It's
just, they're all standing around like stroking as we do a podcast.
Exactly,
I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, what's the...
You know, it's that kind of podcast. you know, Adam, the... I got nothing there. now I've forgotten what it was that I was going to say. Oh, well, you know what? Can you click on your original sound there on me? Because I'm getting some ducking on you. That is a technical thing that's not going to affect the end recording, but it's going to affect me. So anyway, there you go. I had this thing this morning, Adam. I woke up. I was frightened out of my slumber because someone showed up at my front door. And you have a bug on your microphone. You just moved into a brand new house, and there is a bug on your microphone.
I know. He's just saying hello. You know, that's one of my topics.
It is one of your topics. You're being bugged by the FBI, and it's like it's little bugs. So I was woken up this morning. This Indian man showed up at my door, who did not speak much English, and.
Okay.
He was like, hello, tree.
Was Native American or?
No. Yeah. He was like a West Indian. So, and, the couple that we bought the house from was a West Indian couple. So I didn't know exactly, you know, it's like some tree.
Oh, you could ask him about your mangoes, right?
Right. So I'm like, tree. I'm not sure what he's like. Yeah. Tree. And in the back corner. Now he was talking about the moringa tree in the back corner. Now, I just woke up, and so I'm thinking, maybe he's a neighbor because the tree's growing over the fence to the neighbor. Maybe he's wants to trim the tree. I don't know. I'm just waking up. I don't know what's going on. There's some Indian man there talking to me about a tree. And so I'm like, sure, go ahead. And so he went around the side to the backyard, and then I go out into the backyard. And now the moringa tree has these pods that hang from it. It's called a drumstick tree, but it has these pods. We talked about it here on the show that I didn't know what it was. I looked it up. I found out that it's this moringa tree, and it's a tree you can eat all the stuff. Well, he starts picking the pods. He's just like picking all the pods off the moringa tree.
Okay.
And
so
then
he wanted to
say what?
He wanted to borrow a cup of moringa.
Excuse me. Can I borrow a cup of moringa? But he's like, he showed up. He started picking on the moringa, and then he goes, oh, my wife is coming. And I'm like, oh, okay. Maybe she speaks English, and maybe this will, you know.
My wife is coming, and she's going to get some more moringa from you.
Shows up, and she's like, no, get these over here, right? And then they turn around, they look at the mango tree, and they're like, oh, manga. And it's just like, and they were asking for mangoes off the tree. And I was just like, well, you can have a couple, but it's like, no, we're eating them. We have a very, you know, intense canning situation going on with mango jam right now. We're learning how to can and make mango jam.
I heard that on your show that you do called Pointless Talk. Wants to subscribe to that.
3 days a week. Pointless Talk.
Used to be five. You know, you've already reduced it. But
I did.
I
went for quality over quantity, Adam.
I don't know. Was it ever quality? I'm not sure.
And then they left. so these people, and they weren't in a car, right? They live somewhere in the neighborhood, but I guess they just now, well, I feel like I've been violated. I was just like, they've come over, they picked all the pods off my moringa tree, took some mangoes, and then just left. So,
well, maybe they had an arrangement with the prior neighbors because possibly, you know that they would come over and get some moringa and mangoes, and the other neighbors would go over to their house and get some, I don't know. Now, what might they have? You know, get pawpaws off their pawpaw tree.
Yeah, off the pawpaw tree. And now, to be, you know, fair, I tried one of those pods off the moringa tree last week. And it was horrible. It was like eating horseradish. It was just like, you know, gnawing on horseradish. It was very spicy and very intense. And
I love horseradish. I mean, not by itself.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, but yeah, eating it by itself was a bit.
Well, then you could probably grate it up and put it in some mayonnaise.
No, yeah, I'll send you some then. I'll send you some moringa. Well, I can't now because I've been cleaned out.
So. Dip your steak in it.
Dip my steak in the moringa sauce.
Yeah, exactly. Would you mean, like, that may be a thing.
It could be. There you go. Adam, before I forget, I am doing that aforementioned show, Pointless Talk. I'm doing that on the Pride 48 weekend, which we did not talk about Pride 48 weekend because the state of the station where they released the schedule happened after our last show. So what is our time
slot? That is correct.
What is our time slot? So this very show, Dubious Intent, is on at 11 p.m. on Sunday, June. No, Saturday.
No, Saturday.
Saturday. June. That's not right. Why does it say the 22nd on your website?
What?
The 27th.
I'm going over there right now.
Yeah, I'm looking over here. There it is. All right.
Saturday, June 27th. Oh, early. It does say the 22nd.
And then 22nd late. Yeah, you forgot to change that second. Anyway,
Saturday, 11 p.m. Eastern.
Yeah, Saturday, June 22nd, Dubious Intent will be on 11 p.m. Eastern over in Pride 48 for the live streaming weekend. Come out and support the live streaming weekend. I think you're on every other hour, right? It's like from the beginning. You're on like every other hour. You're doing 16 shows or something
How
like that.
How dare you?
You're doing
sir.
Geeky Gay. You're doing Throwing Down. You're doing Throwing Up. And then you're doing Dubious Intent and probably the kickoff show and then also the closing show. And is there anything else you're doing?
No.
Okay, great.
Nothing else that I will say this. I think you're going to really... I have nothing for Geeky Gay, like nothing at all. Not a thing.
Not a thing.
Co-host.
Not a thing.
Not a topic. Mm-hmm. Like anything. I'm racking my brain trying to think exactly what I can do, and I don't
know. You should get Archer. You should you should talk to Archer. You know, he's not doing his show this year. You could bring him on as a guest. You and Archer could talk.
Later, earlier he said, I can fill a slot if you guys have any slots. And I was thinking, that's right. Archer didn't sign up. Why the hell did he not sign up for Pride 48 weekend? But anyway, I don't know what I'm doing.
Also, just to point it out, just to further rub the salt into the wounds, it says Sunday, June 23rd, both early and late. So, yeah,
I'm going to fire the webmaster, okay? The webmaster will be fired. Heads will roll.
I just get great amusement out of it because I used to have to update the website and I used to get shit all the time.
Copy paste problem.
Anyway, let's go back to what I was talking about here. So I am doing the Pointless Talk is going to be on Sunday, June, not 23rd, Sunday, June 29th. Is that what
28th.
It is? 28th. Sunday, June 28th at 6 p.m. Eastern time. And what I'm doing here, Adam, is I'm going to do a trivia game. And I need 8 contestants for it.
Yeah.
So Dr. Wesley Pythagoras Stone is joining me to co-host this crazy game show. We like to think of it as trivia, quickfire, meets Survivor, meets BBUK, meets the Great British Baking Show. And meets the podcasters. So it'll be great. Big Fatty's going to be our announcer, so he'll be announcing all the fabulous prizes that we have. But we need 8 contestants, so I've set up a redirect. If you go to pride48.com/PT, which is for Pointless Talk. So if you go to pride48.com/PT, there is a form you can fill out to be a contestant on the show for a chance to win some fabulous, not really, but fabulous prizes. totally fabulous.
I feel like you have a, pride48.com or pride48.live, whichever one you want to do, slash
PT.
PT. Mm-hmm. I was just thinking about it as I was not paying attention to exactly what you were saying.
Yes.
You know, the name of your show is Pointless Talk.
Yeah.
So you started Dubious Intent before you and I ever knew each other.
Correct.
And you named it, I'm assuming, you named mm-hmm. Dubious Intent. Mm-hmm. And so I think you have a history or what's the word? You have a self-deprecating kind of humor in the naming of your shows.
Yes.
Because you named Dubious Intent as if,
oh, I see.
There was no rhyme or reason. There was no intention. It was just going to be a bullshit show that had no reason to be in existence. Mm-hmm. And then your foray into solo journalistic podcasting.
Yes.
Is Pointless Talk, which again, like Dubious Intent, is kind of like, There's no point to this talk. There's no intent to this dubiousness. There's or whatever. I don't know what I'm saying here. But anyway, so I think there's like a theme going on here to your naming conventions.
It should be. Also, I should give a huge shout out to Cyclone, who's in the chat room this evening. Cyclone sent me like a whole big breakdown of all the ways to do the trivia show and all the different ideas. And I took a lot of those ideas and everything. So, So thank you, Cyclone, for helping out with that.
Cyclone is also apparently now QAing the website.
Yes.
And has now found that the copyright is also 2018. If there's anything, I mean, you know. Look, I don't get paid for this shit.
You know? You. Wow. It's like, it's almost like we need to teach you a little bit about, web design. Let's. Buy it, use it, break it, fix it, trash it, change it, mail, upgrade it, charge it, point it, zoom it, press it, snap it, work it, quick. The Dubious Intent Technologies. Oh, shit. I clicked on the stop button. I didn't mean to. Anyway, I was going to...
Bit fail.
Yeah.
Bit fail.
Wah, 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 wah. So let's talk about your problem there.
Oh, well, you saw it.
I did.
I think you saw Fred.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you didn't see... there was a fly the size of a murder hornet that like landed on top of his pop filter there, his little foam pop filter. It was like the biggest fly I've ever seen in my life. I thought it was like a beetle. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like one of those scarabs or something. It was enormous.
Well, we're naming them. That was Fred.
I was going to say.
You know,
are you going to take
Mary
them to the groomers? Like the little fly groomers and put little bows on their heads?
We were going to get another dog, you know, now that we have a yard. But since we have pet flies, so this is what I was going to talk to you about. So we move out. So when we first saw the house.
Yes.
Mark commented that there are lots of fields with cows in them. We live in the country now, you see. And I was like, oh, it's beautiful. Look at all the trees and the rolling hills. And we even live near a vineyard. Archer's rolling his eyes at the moment, but we live near a vineyard. And so there are actually like, you know, wine trees. They're grapevines.
I'm pretty sure they're wine trees. No, that tracks. That tracks. They're wine trees.
And you know, I'm like, oh, it's so beautiful and everything. And of course, you know, Mark, he doesn't like cows for whatever reason. And so he's like, oh, my God, so many cows, it's going to stink. Well, we had talked about a couple of times.
All I have in my head, by the way, you know, a wine tree is just one of those metal things that holds wine bottles or whatever. Just those out in the wild, just like the rolling hills of Arkansas with wine trees out in their fields. It's like, yep, out over there is the wild cabaret. We like to keep it... it doesn't get along with the Merlots down the street.
Well, we do. I mean, that's what Tawny Town is known for, is the wine trees. You drive through. And,
the
you
rolling
know,
hills of the... wine trees in Southwest
there's
Arkansas.
There's a wine tree festival. So, as it were. But
Wait, I got to know. What's the mascot of the wine tree festival?
Well, it's, I don't know.
It's Archer.
I don't know. Don't put me on the spot like that. It's like a woman stomping grapes.
Okay, yeah. It's a stereotypical one. She's got purple feet and where she's been stomping grapes. And she like's got a little prairie dress on that she like hikes up and is like, I've been stomping grapes.
That's the other thing you see. As you pass by the wine trees, you see the lined up casks, not casks, whatever, the barrels.
Yeah, the barrels.
You know, and the women stomping the grapes to get them ready, you know, to do whatever you do to make wine.
That's where clogging originated.
And
in Arkansas, in the Arkansas wine fields, where they stomped in the casks.
So, but I will say this, though. I mean, people are going, Arkansas? Wine?
Do you remember the first, you remember the point? Because I distracted you enough now that you've completely forgotten the original.
No, I remember the point. Okay, I'm keeping it right here.
So you live near cows and wine trees.
Yeah, but the people wouldn't think of wine when they think of Arkansas. And it probably is swill, but I'm going to send it to every single person I know as gifts because I've moved. But I will say one thing that makes it a little more valid is the town that we moved to was settled by Italian settlers back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
And Henry de Tonti was the guy's name,
mm-hmm.
one of the original Italian settlers. And that's where the winery and all the wine trees and everything came
then
from.
Why isn't it called Tonti Town?
It's called Tonti Town, Tonti Town.
Is William, that because his name DeTante. Is DeTante? Okay.
Yeah, DeTante,
okay,
yeah. And so there are actual real Italians who settled here originally.
Yeah,
and,
as opposed
you know,
to the fake ones. Like, none of those stereotype, like the, remember those people that did those, that's a spicy meatball. Is like,
yeah, not those.
Just all the fake Italians.
No, the real ones. The real ones.
Italians of Tonti Town, Arkansas.
And so back to the original point.
Yes.
We mentioned flies randomly before we bought it, like, there might be flies because, you know, they're a cow. But we didn't really think anything of it. We move in. So the first few days, we had a lot of flies in the house. And I was like, they'll die eventually because they probably all came in while we were moving in.
Right.
You know, I mean, we had the door open for 3 hours or
days.
Something.
Days,
yeah. Well, we have been here, not for very long, but we've been here over a week. And I don't know what the life expectancy of a fly is, but I would think most of those original ones would have died by now.
Mm-hmm.
We still have all of these flies just all over the place. And so now I'm like Googling, how the fuck do you get rid of flies?
Yes.
And I don't want these ugly ass, like, you know, the fly strips and, you know, they're stuck with all these dead carcasses of flies all over them. And, you know, you don't want to invite people. Well, I mean, we're never going to have a housewarming party because COVID, you know, I mean, but
never.
I mean, if anyone ever comes over, I don't want to have all these, you know, nasty fly carcasses hanging around. And I mean,
I'm sorry. Breaking news. A cyclone in the chat room says two men, a truck, and the chick with the flies.
So I don't know what to do. Like I tried.
Okay. All right. First of all, Adam. A housefly has a lifespan of 28 days. So,
they're all still the same ones. What if they have babies?
I know they will. Yes, they will. That's why you need to kill them because they will. I think they can lay eggs more than once in their 28 day lifespan.
Oh God.
So
we have a whole family. It's going to be generations of flies. I mean, it's going to be great grandpa and then, you know, little Ellie, and they're going to have, you know, she's going to marry Tommy Boy, and they're going to have babies, you know, little Gretchen. And
have you thought about bombing?
Bombing?
Yeah.
I mean, I think I want to live in the house.
Wait, let me follow that up. All right. So when I was a youngin', we had a cabin on a lake that we would go to on the weekend. So like we had this cabin up on the lake and it was, and during the off season, you know, not during the summer or whatever, it's Florida. I mean, you can go to the lake all the time, but during the colder months, we didn't go there. But then mainly in the summer, you know, we'd spend a couple of weeks up there in the summer and whatnot. And what would happen is that, you know, the house would be all locked up and shut up every time we would leave. And then we would come back and open the house and there would just be, you'd be swarmed by fleas, right? Because the fleas had gotten into the carpet and then they were closed up in this house and they multiplied, right? And then you come back 2 weeks later and then, you know, you're attacked by fleas because we had dogs and whatnot.
Oh my God. Not another aside, but I just have to say this. Mm-hmm. When I lived in an apartment in Texas and I had Katie, a Cavalier King Charles Spaniel that I had at the time.
Yes.
I used to, I used to keep her out on the patio when I would go to work and stuff like that. And she got fleas really bad. And I walked out on the patio and like millions of fleas jumped on my leg, and I could see them because I was wearing white socks. They attacked me. It was horrible. Anyway,
they're very hungry. So anyway, so what we found that worked, because you needed to kill the flies, right? It's like when we would leave the cabin before we, you know, the last thing we do before we left was set off a couple of those bug bombs. And then, you know, so we're locked up the house and everything, set off a couple of bug bombs, leave. So that way when we came back a couple of weeks later, there's no dead thing. So what you need to do is do one of your famous Mittens and Adams day trip things where you go stay in a hotel overnight, whatever, because you only have to be out of the house for, I think, 12 hours for a bug bomb. So it's like they're little decon bug bombs that you buy at Walmart. Just go and get, you want to set off, it'll tell you what square footage it'll do. You want to set them strategically around your house, close all the windows, close all the doors, open all the cabinets, do the bug bomb thing, leave the house for 12 to 18 hours or whatever it takes, and then come back and you will no longer have bugs.
That sounds like so much work.
Oh my God.
And if I'm opening up all the cabinets, then do I have to like, wash all the plates and cups and
all
that kind of stuff that I,
You would need to wash the plates before you eat off of them. I mean, you don't have to wash them. You can wash them in a sink. You don't have to run them through the dishwasher.
Well, I mean, that's a lot. I just wanted a nice little, I mean, I was like, okay, I will take your idea into I'm losing words.
Oh, look, Cyclone says turn the dishes and the glasses upside down in the cupboards. Because it's really, because as the fog settles, you don't want to do this. So yeah, that would work. You just turn the plates upside down.
Oh, Lamont Cranston in the chat room says, does the bombing work for rodents? We have such mouse issues. No, what you want to do for rodents is you want to get those glue pads.
Or a cat.
And then you just put those glue pads, and then the mice are running back and forth, and all of a sudden, and they're stuck. And you can't. I did that one time, and then my mom's like, son, did you at least hit it over the head with a hammer or something afterwards? Because it's going to be stuck on that glue pad and die a slow, horrible death.
How did this become a snuff cast all of a sudden? No, stop this. Stop it.
I was like, no, I just threw the whole thing in the trash with the mouse on it. I didn't hit it in the head with a hammer or anything like that. Let it starve. Anyway, so, I don't know. I'll think about it. But that seems like I'm going to have poison all over in the air and all over the place. It's a brand new house. I mean, I feel like, and I know what Mars would be like, this is a new house. We're already having to bomb it for like varmints and everything. I mean, like, what are we doing? But there was a couple of things. There was like, you could like take a bowl or take a 2-liter like Coke bottle, put some sugar water with vinegar in it, and then cut off the top part of it and invert it to like have a funnel. And then apparently the flies are attracted to the vinegar sugar water, but they can't get back out.
Yes.
And I thought, oh, I'll just try it with some Diet Mountain Dew because I don't have any apple cider vinegar right now.
First of all, so there's what is it in Diet Mountain Dew that a fly would want?
Apparently nothing.
There's nothing in there that would want.
Apparently nothing because it didn't work.
No, flies don't want this. Like flies aren't cutting down on their weights. They want sugar. They want, it's like literally you could have just taken a tablespoon of sugar and some warm water and dissolved that and just like that would have attracted them.
Yeah. The other thing though.
Have you tried honey? You know, you can attract more flies with honey than
Yeah, exactly. So the other thing that I've got to figure out, and maybe this magical landscaper that I'm never going to find because all of them hate me.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Apparently
on your show, The Geeky Gay, which is 5 days a week. Yes,
it is. Mm-hmm. Apparently all of the landscapers have distributed my name. I'm on a blacklist of like landscapers, and they're like, oh wait, you're on that list. I can't respond to you. But whenever I find a landscape designer who's worth his weight in salt or whatever,
fertilizer.
Apparently there are some plants that you can plant that flies don't like.
Yes.
So I'm thinking what I can do is near the doorways. Mm-hmm. You know, where we're going to be opening the door, have them plant strategically plants that flies don't like, and maybe they won't fly near the doors. Because the other problem I think we're going to have is when we're opening the door, you know, going in and out and stuff like that, new flies are going to come in.
Yes.
You know, so I was thinking,
you have to say shoo fly.
Yeah.
Don't bother me.
So you saw, I mean, Fred landed right on the microphone. I mean, they're just right at home.
I don't know if it was, I think it was, did we talk about this on the show last week or was it during the post show when we talked about Aunt Jemima?
I do so many shows.
It is true.
I do not
I think we talked about Aunt Jemima and of course in the news this week, Aunt Jemima is now retired. There is no more. They're scrubbing.
You know, I'm glad they let her retire finally.
They're scrubbing come on. It was a stereotypical mammy that was a figure that was designed by a bunch of white men, same with Mrs. Buttersworth and Uncle Ben, which also, by the way,
it's not Buttersworth.
Is it? Buttersworth, yeah.
Butterworth.
Oh, Butterworth. Whatever. Butterworth. She's no more. She's none. They've gotten
Aunt
rid of.
Aunt Jemima, Mrs. Butterworth, and Uncle Ben have all gone to the retirement home
as
together.
Well as the Quaker Oat, no, the cream of wheat guy that didn't even, they didn't give him a name. It's just a black chef with a hat. Which apparently in early television commercials, he was portrayed as like, you know, being like illiterate and like, well, I don't know nothing about no vitamins. You know, he was kind of a cream of wheat. Anyway, I just say, I know that you're opposed to getting rid of statues or, you know, anything like that.
Well,
but
I've kind of changed my mind.
You do know there was no actual person named Mrs. Butterworth, right? There was no actual, yeah. These are mythical creatures that were created. Much like Betty Crocker, there was no actual Betty Crocker. I mean, it was just
the way I feel about it now, I've had several stages of ignorance. I was saying something and I didn't, everyone's laughing and I don't even know exactly what the punchline was there. I'm so sorry.
They were shocked. There was no Betty Crocker. They were clutching their pearls. They thought for sure that there was a Betty Crocker.
There was a Betty Crocker.
You're thinking of Bea Arthur and she's dead.
No. Oh, there was, okay. There was a person. But I don't think her name was Betty Crocker.
No, there was no person named it. She was a marketing...
And there is a Sarah Lee.
There may be a Sarah Lee, and there may be a Marie Callender. Yeah, but there was no Betty Crocker. Yeah.
No, damn it, I forgot what I was going to say.
If I knew, I'd be psychic.
Well, Ignorance. I'm still ignorant now, I'm sure. But so when I was in college. Thank you, Archer. I can see that. So when I was in college, there was this, I went to Ole Miss.
Yes.
And there was this whole thing at that time about
the rebels,
them wanting to change the state flag.
Yes.
Because it had a Confederate flag in it.
Correct.
And they wanted to change the mascot of the school and they wanted to change the theme, the fight song because it was Dixie.
Yep.
And like all of this stuff. Right. And I was more ignorant back then than I grew up, you know, in a podunk southern town. I mean, you know, it's like, I mean, people need to cut me a little bit of a break because I mean, I grew up in racist central basically.
Okay.
And so I get to college and I'm like, no, they shouldn't get rid of the flag. Well, you know, I mean, that's historical, you know, blah, 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 and all that. And I'm like, oh, all that. And then I kind of softened on that a little bit. I'm like, oh, you know, probably, you know. But then a few years ago, whenever all this stuff came about yeah. getting rid of the statues, I was another level of ignorant where I was like, no, they can't get rid of the statues. Those are historical, you know, whatever, whatever, whatever. I've softened a little on that. I do think, I do feel that you could put them in a private museum or something and people that want to go there.
See,
I don't
now
think
that's
you
where you and I differ because
them.
To me, it's just like, you know what, Ted Bundy is part of history too, but I don't think that it's appropriate to just have a statue of him out in a park somewhere.
Well,
it's just like,
I'm
at some
sure
point you draw
a
the
museum.
Line.
I'm sure there's a museum of serial killers somewhere that has like artifacts or whatever.
Possibly.
But so I don't think you need to destroy them. They are historical things that were created by some artist somewhere. But I think if you put them, like they're going to, they're going to move. We have a Confederate statue here in our square,
I'm
in
shocked.
Bentonville Square, and they're moving it to like a private area or whatever. So, I mean, I do understand the criticism of them, but I'm not going so far as to say they need to be destroyed. Now, 5 more years, I might be totally enlightened, and I may say, oh, I was so ignorant 5 years ago.
Well, we'll check back in with you 5 years.
Yeah,
now.
Check in again with me in 5 years.
5 years from now. You'll be doing a video podcast where you'll be eating, Mrs. Butterworth. And I've saved this box of Uncle Ben's rice. just
I'll have
today.
Ancestors of Fred landing on my microphone.
It will be. So I've thought long and hard about this face mask deal, Adam.
Have you?
Because we have both on our, not only on our individual shows, but on this show, have lamented the fact that you go out in public and there are just people that are not wearing face masks and people that are making it a, calling it a political statement, right? So you had the head of AMC theaters that was saying like, oh, we're not going to require you to wear a face mask because we don't want to get into this whole political argument kind of a thing, which is not a political statement whatsoever. But I've been thinking about it and I think I understand why people are having a problem with it. Yet at the same time, I'm not sure how to fix it. So here, I'll tell you what my theory is here, Adam, and then you can tell me, how we fix this. Because have you ever heard of pluralistic ignorance?
I don't think I have.
Okay, so pluralistic ignorance is
I think I can read context clues here.
Okay,
is it where? Probably not. Where
it is a psychological
ignorance
theory
of the crowd, like you're ignorant because the entire crowd is
spewing ignorant things. As it turns out, we are social creatures, and when we come upon a situation where we don't know what to do, we look around to see what other people are doing, and that is how we follow our clues. This is what leads to people watching someone getting beat up in the middle of the street and no one calling the cops because everyone's looking around to see what to do. And some people are not reacting. So, oh, I guess we don't react. I guess we just watch. It's like, it's a psychological theory called pluralistic ignorance. And
isn't that also called like herd mentality or something
exactly.
like that as well?
Yeah, it is indeed. So if you think about it, it's like, you can't see this virus. You can't, if you only watch Fox News and you're hearing one story about the virus, you know, and that it's not dangerous and that people are being silly about it and everything. So you're unsure what to do when you go out in public because you have your doctor who you otherwise would trust telling you that you should do something. And you're going out there, but you're looking around and then you see some other people not wearing masks. It's like, oh, well, then no, I'm not going to wear a mask or whatever. So I think that's part of it, right? Part of it is that the kind of the people in the middle that don't know which way to go are looking around. They see the majority of people not wearing masks. So they're like, well, fuck it. I'm not going to wear a mask because I'm not sure what to do. So I don't want to be like the guy that sticks out.
I believe that because when I went into the home at home or whatever, it's like a furniture / home decor store. And the guy like made that, ugh. Or whatever, and like rolled his eyes at Mark and I. I felt so attacked. I'm like, also my breath stinks apparently, and when I wear a mask, I smell my own breath, and it's horrible. They need to make masks that like
you should just carry some mints, Adam. Just carry some mints with you.
Well, I didn't have any at the time.
Here's the thing. So the other piece that pluralistic ignorance is definitely, I think, something that's going on. But the other thing I think is going on is another psychological tenet. It's called the self-perception theory. And now the self-perception theory is something that basically means that your subconscious is not capable of holding opposing thoughts at the same time. So let's say that you ask me to do a favor. Like, let's say, you know, Daniel, will you do me a favor, right? And I do a favor for you. Let's say I loan you $5 or I loan you a pencil or something like that. And I don't know you. That's the other thing. We don't know each other. It's first day of school. You ask me, hey, can I borrow your pencil? Can I borrow a couple of bucks, whatever? And I loan it to you. What happens in your brain is you're like going, well, I'm doing something nice for him. So therefore, obviously, I must like him. So it's like, I must value, you know, I must think highly of him because I'm doing something for him, right? This is what's going on.
I see your point, but I think I've done things for people that I disliked before because I'm a people pleaser.
Yeah, but that's not what I'm saying.
I resent people who I'm doing nice things
for. Okay, but this is a proven theory. Psychological thing. It's just like doing things for other people or doing things that you don't necessarily believe in actually makes a piece of you actually start to believe in that because it's one of those ways that your brain is like going, well, I'm doing this action, so I clearly don't believe that it's bad, right? It's like, I can read everything that I want about smoking, smoking being bad for me, whatever, but I'm smoking a cigarette, so it must not be bad. And it's like, that is a way that we reassure ourselves all the time. That it's like, you know, we're constantly watching other people to see what we do. Or we're also watching what we ourselves are doing. So I think it gets into this whole big feedback loop, right, of people that if I'm putting on this mask, then I must be scared of catching this virus. And that's not something that I want to be. So I'm not going to put on it. I'm not wearing a mask. So clearly I'm not scared of getting this virus. And it leads to this, you know, argument between these two factions of people. And I think that's kind of why it's getting so heated here, is it's gone down into our monkey brains here of, you know, people not wanting to wear a mask because they don't want to view themselves as being scared. So they are like going out, they're doing the action of not being scared by not wearing a mask, convincing themselves that they are not scared, which then feeds back on the people that don't know what to do, looking around and not seeing people with masks. And so there, but I think that's what's going on, but I'm not sure what you would even do about it. I'm not even sure how to even like begin to attack that.
Or you have those religious people who, the ignorant religious people, not, there are religious people who are intelligent and have brains and use them. But the ones who don't, who are just blindly religious, and they're saying, no, God is protecting me. I don't need this mask to protect me. And so it's like a religious statement where they're going out and they're saying, no, I'm trusting in the Lord. He is protecting me. What they're not thinking about, though, is the main reason for a mask is to protect other people, not yourself.
Yeah, but they don't. That's a nuance. And I think that Americans just can't handle nuance whatsoever. It's just like they heard the initial, you know, the initial thing that they heard was masks are just for healthcare workers. And of course, we were talking about N95 masks at the time, but they heard that and then they're just falling back to that. It's like the whole nuance of, no, you should be wearing a cloth mask to prevent your breath from, you know, going. That's nuance inside. So I don't think we're going
to
solve that on this, you know, fart joke podcast, but I'm just saying that these are just things that that I was thinking about.
I will say this.
Yes.
My governor. Oh, my God. So a state. And, you know, I don't have high hopes for an Arkansas governor anyway, but I mean, a city next to mine, Fayetteville, which is the college town, it's like the Razorbacks, you know, whatever, that would, if you know of a team, that's the one you're going to know of from Arkansas. Mm-hmm. And, or a school. And the city council decided that they were going to make it a requirement. They were going to mandate wearing masks in public buildings and in businesses, any place where the public was getting together. And the governor actually came out and said he did not want them to do that. He didn't, he wasn't supporting that.
Right.
He said they could do whatever he refuses to mandate it statewide. And then when someone tries to take it in their own hands, he doesn't want them doing it either. He's like, no, I don't support this, whatever. And all he can say is fucking, oh, the reason our numbers are going up is because we're testing more. You know, and that's all he says every single day. Well, we're going to phase two and next week we're going to go to phase three and we're just going to be completely open. And, you know, and then Kansas is now requiring quarantine if you go from Arkansas to Kansas because they consider us a hot spot. And our governor's like, oh, nothing's wrong. Don't wear masks, you know, yeah. Do whatever you want. And I'm like, oh my God, what an idiot.
Yes. It's like, how did such a basic tenet of, you know, just public health become this, you know, supercharged political event? I mean, political thing. It's really annoying, but, you know, we're not going to solve it.
I don't know. I don't know how it happened, but people are ignorant.
So, Adam, you know, we have a chat room that we stream live here on Pride 48 every Saturday night. Well, I guess this is our last Saturday night of streaming live at 10 o'clock on Saturday night.
I don't know. Is it?
Yeah, because the Pride 48 weekend is next weekend and that's our last show. So there will be no more Dubious Intent after next Saturday night. So we're on next Saturday at 11.
We are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying. Yeah. So this is, I guess it's not even worth telling people that we're here every Saturday night. You've missed that already. But you know what? Who didn't miss it, Adam?
Oh, God. Well, here in the Zoom chat, I know we have Archer, we have Egg Gong, we have RT Cruiser, we have Gary Bearden, we have Macron, who is probably very confused because he joined late and thought he was joining the Zoom cocktail hour and has actually joined Dubious Intent. We have Jay, Blind Guy Jay, who's on there. And then we have, I have to admit, chat room, I haven't paid as close attention to you as I should have.
We have
so
Lamont.
I'm not quite sure who
we
was
have
talking.
Lamont, Cranston, and Cyclone over in the chat room, yeah, as well as I think Crone is
Crone is there.
Yeah.
Mac Zook. Or wait, some of these are ones that are in Zoom. Sorry.
Yeah.
I'm missing the name differences.
Well, there you go. And you missed it. So you listening at home, you missed it. Sorry.
I mean, there's talks of something between you and I going on.
Possibly, yeah, but no more do this intent.
We're in negotiations.
We're in negotiations. Yeah.
I mean,
we can talk about it. We can talk about it. So should I move on, or do you want to talk about your electrician?
Yeah, I'm going to talk about my electrician. Okay, go ahead. Yeah, yeah. We're not a time limited show.
No, we're not. This is our last show. Next show, Adam, we have to do it in an hour.
I know.
That means no news quiz of 11 items. You're going to have to pick like the best 4 or 5 news quiz questions next week.
Nobody can have birthdays next week.
No
Sorry.
Birthdays next week.
All right. So, electrician. So, I wanted to ask you.
Yes.
Because, you know, a lot of people come to me for technical stuff, but when I have someone I need to go to, you know, I go to you. So it's like the chain of.
Oh,
you know,
look at
whatever.
Me! I'm the professor's professor. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. So, well, actually it's not even, I just wanted to know if you know this. So I'm having an electrician come over.
Yes.
And they're going to give me a quote because there are several things that I want done. Mm-hmm. I want all of these smart switches that I'm removing from the old place.
Yes.
I want them installed here. I'm sick of doing it myself and it's a pain in the ass and I don't want the house to burn down. I've taken that risk in the past. We own this one. I'm like, you know, maybe I'll have it professionally done.
Okay.
But the other thing I want to do is I want other Ethernet jacks put in various places.
Yes.
Around the house. But I was thinking about that, and I don't know how much of a rigmarole that actually it like. Can they go in the attic and just drop the lines down? Or is this a scenario where they're going to be like, well, you got to get a contractor out here and you have to get rid of the sheetrock and we have to, you know, take it back to studs? And like how big of a deal is? And I know it depends. I mean, the answer is probably it depends.
Can I ask you this, though? Can I ask you this?
You can ask me anything you want.
Because I don't. When you looked at this house, it was already built.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. We didn't build it. Everything was up. Paint, okay. Sheetrock, like everything.
Cause that would be, you know, it's like, why didn't you just have them run Ethernet? It's just
yeah,
like,
I would have. I mean, had we built a home or gone when they were like still at
it's,
early
it's
stages.
It's weird to me because a lot of modern homes, when they build them, they already have, they just run Cat 5 through the walls. Just
no, we have that.
Well, that's all you need.
I do.
So any Cat 5 can be turned into an Ethernet.
No. I know that.
Oh, okay.
I understand that. But I'm saying I would like to run, I would like to have Ethernet to the television, for instance.
Yes.
We decided to put the TV on a different wall.
Got it.
Than what they ran the
Got
line
it.
To. And,
so,
and I don't want some janky core, like cable going around. I mean, I want an actual outlet.
They can do that. They can do that. They're going to fish the cable down to the wall. And it's like, it's not
but
that
our
big.
Attic looks scary. I mean, if I tried to walk in that attic, I know, but I mean, I'm like, are they going to be like, are you crazy? Like, we're not walking in that attic.
No, that's what they do. They're used to doing that. It's just like, they're just going to sneak it down through the wall. It's like they have these little fissure things that go in there and grab the cable as it's coming out and whatnot. So it all involves, you start feeding down a really stiff wire, like a stiff, it's on a roll kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. And then you then tie the cable to the end of it and then pull it all the way through. No, that's something that they can do because I've had that done before.
Okay. Well, and I don't know how exorbitantly expensive it's going to be if they're, or how
so
long
what
it'll
I did
take if
there was,
to,
like... I found somebody from USF that was, you know, that just did it off.
Archer's raising his
hand. We have someone in the chat room that's like raising their hands to say no he's not raising.
No,
he's not raising his hand.
All right.
His hand raised. No, but he's trying to block.
He's trying to focus his camera because you know he wants everyone to see his in focus face.
Too bright. they can absolutely. I would do. It doesn't have to be an electrician. Is what I'm trying to tell you. You can find wiring people, like you can find data wiring people, because to do electrical work, like panel work. And so most electricians are more expensive because they are do more skilled work, right? They're doing electrical work. Data cable people don't have to be as good because they're not dealing with live currents or anything like that. They're, running an Ethernet cable through your wall is not going to burn your house down, right? It's like an right. exposed Ethernet cable mm-hmm. will give you a bad Ethernet jack, but it's not going to burn your house down. So you can find people that are like, so what I would do is like, I found my guy because, an electrician was doing some work and I was just like, I don't do cable like that, but my son is at school does, and he'll do it for like, you know, $10 an hour or whatever. And, you know,
I didn't think about that. Okay. That's a good idea. I'll have to do some research on that. The other thing is, and they're coming out to give me a quote on Monday. So, I mean, if it's exorbitantly expensive,
you should hit up the IT department at work.
I mean, unless they, maybe.
So,
somebody want to
make a couple of $100. Somebody wants to make a couple of hundred bucks. Just come in and run some Ethernet in my house.
Walk through my ceiling, through my attic. The other thing is, we have all this. Why can't I think of the word? The coax cable.
Yes.
So they ran coax cable, and we have all this coax cable, and we're not going to use it like for TV because right. we're not yeah. doing cable, right? Right?
Yes.
And so I was just thinking, are there any creative things I could do with the coax cable? Because it's just cable, right? So, I mean, I could do, and I could do this research myself, and I will, but just, mm-hmm. you know, it was something that was on my mind. So I mean, but I was thinking, you know, if I could run audio over that and like have speakers, or if I could yeah. use that as a second Ethernet, you know, port in the same thing where I could convert, coax to Ethernet. Cause it's just a cable, right? I mean, it'll carry. Now I don't know what the bandwidth I don't know how much it would carry.
So I'm looking here on Amazon. There is a couple of, Ethernet to coax adapters. They're not cheap. They're in the $150 range for a 2-pack, but you could theoretically do this, saying that you can get 1,200 megabits Ethernet over coax.
Yeah, so that might be something to add another. I was just thinking, well, I've got all these cables there, and they're not going to be used, and like what, you know. I'm wondering, though, if I could do like audio, because then we could put speakers or whatever and have wired, you know, like speakers or something.
Do you know, what's your... Who's your home assistant?
Well, mainly Echo.
So the new Google Home ones have a shared audio on them that actually works really well. It actually syncs them all up so that they're all playing at the same thing. In other words, so it's like,
Echoes will do that as well, but I'm just trying to reuse the wires. But yes.
But what I'm saying is, so then you don't need to use the wires because you can sync it throughout your house there. It's like...
Well, no, I understand that, but I'm just thinking, what could I use these wires for? They're there.
Yeah, ignore them. You don't need them. Just forget about them. You could run an aerial antenna, and then you could have you could have your channels.
I was thinking...
That was my idea, but that was poo-pooed long ago, Adam. It was poo-pooed.
I'm so glad you helped me get to the fiesta today. You know why today is such a special fiesta?
Why, Dora?
It's a birthday fiesta!
Yeah!
So let's all sing happy birthday in English and Spanish. Ready?
The Dubious Intent birthday segment, the segment of the show where Adam will read, he'll play musical clues to some celebrity's birthday, and I, using only my head, brain, and mouth words, will figure out whose birthday it is without cheating and looking in the chat room, unless I get stumped, in which case I'll totally probably cheat. Adam, who is our first birthday this week?
It's this one, if I can play it. Oh, come on, play. Why is it not playing?
I don't know why it's not playing.
This You know what? Apple sucks.
Well, yeah, Tom, that we can agree.
That's what I want to say right now. Apple sucks, but it's going to play in momentarily.
Okay. What? It sounds like Vera Charles. It's not Vera Charles.
No.
No idea. You can literally play that entire song. I would still have no idea.
I'm gonna pop some tags. Only got $20 in my pocket. Nothing. Looking for a come up. This is fucking awesome. Nothing?
No. No idea.
I don't have a second one for this one because that should have been so obvious for you. But I'll just have to tell you that that would be a it's Macklemore.
Oh yeah, of course. It's Macklemore, my good buddy Macklemore. Of course
Kathy
I would know
Marshall
that.
I got it in a chat room.
Looking in the chat room. I'm not cheating.
Look, it's no, I'm just saying someone got it. And yes. Kathy Marshall is, well, I don't know how old Kathy Marshall is, but I think she's
my age.
Somewhere around the age of you and I, you know, in between there. She looks much younger than that. But even she knew Macklemore. I feel like I'm always focusing on these old folk birthdays, you know, that old people would know.
Yes.
You know, like Golden Girls birthdays and stuff like that. I got, you know,
show
focus on
me
some,
that smile again.
Some youngins, you know.
Don't waste another minute on your crying.
Anyway, he's 37, yes. And you 37. Have no idea who he is.
I had no idea who he is. What is he? What is he even famous for? What did he do?
He's a rapper / singer / producer, and yeah. I mean, I'm only aware
but
of that one song.
But he secretly wants to direct.
I'm only aware of that one song, but yeah, Mac Zook, every cast member of the Facts of Life, exactly.
You the good, you take the bad, you take them both, and there you have.
All right, here's our next one. Here we go. In a second.
Anytime, any day now. I'm not hearing it. I'm not hearing anything. You're dancing up and down, but I'm not hearing anything.
You're not hearing anything at all?
Oh wait, now I'm hearing it's the American Idol theme, it sounds like.
Okay, you told me to turn off original sound, or it was already on, and you told me. I'm going to turn it back
on, see.
If that helps. All right, yes, that's the American Idol theme. I assume you don't know based on that.
Is it Ensemble Cast, yes.
Yeah, so we'll play our next one. It'll be so much better on future Dubious Intents.
Absolutely, yeah. None of this crap.
Yeah. That's a very long intro. I remember what I realized when trying to do it on the... here we go.
Okay. This is A Cold-Hearted Snake. This is, sung by... Oh, crazy lady. She was like really huge in the 80s. Oh my God. I know her name. I know her. And I can't think of who. Cold Hearted. And
I played a trumpet solo on that song.
Opposites Attract. She also sang the song Opposites Attract. She was a dancer. And, I'm just blocking on her name though. She was a judge on American Idol too. Yeah, she's crazy.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I mean, all of that is crazy. All we need is a name.
I don't know her name.
That's all we need. I mean,
I
you
know
can
that's
keep
all
giving
you need.
Us.
Do
we
not
all know the name.
Her name.
All of us know the name.
It's
all right. I guess you don't know it. I guess you get a. It's Paula Abdul.
Paula Abdul.
Everyone in the chat room is screaming.
Yeah. All right.
She's 58 years old.
58 years old.
Yeah. And she's apparently doing things. Here's the next one.
This is amazing. I could eat this Yoplait 150 for any number of reasons. It only has 150 calories. It has no fat. And it tastes better to me than those fat yogurts.
Oh, my God. This is I eat it Felicia Rashad, right?
With my body.
Oh, wow.
I want to create a balance between it is. Taste.
I'm really good at, I'm really good at voices.
And
no,
I'm
that,
going
that is,
to get into this French leotard.
That's Felicia Rashad.
It is.
Yay. Oops, sorry.
I mean, I did have another one, but I mean, you got it. So I guess, yeah. You know, you got it. We don't get the other
was
one.
Was the other one a Cosby Show?
I don't even know.
Oh, okay.
It's okay.
Is this Doogie Howser?
It is.
Doogie Howser.
It is.
Yeah.
That's your only one. That's all.
That's my only one. You're not going to play like, could you possibly play, what was it? Oh shit. What is it?
One moment. To anyone joining the Zoom cocktail hour right now, we're doing Dubious Intent with everyone still on it. So where everyone's muted. So yeah, you're welcome
Nico.
To stay.
It was Nico, but he's muted. It's fine. What was that? It's that song. It's like, I love that song. It's the theme song to that show, that has Ted and Robin and...
I never watched the other show he was in.
Oh, so good. Anyway, Is it Neil Patrick Harris?
Patrick Harris, yes.
Yeah, no, the theme to How I Met Your Mother is one of my favorites. It's like... I like that.
Sorry. I'm sorry. I didn't meet your needs there. By the way, Felicia Rashad is 72.
Wow.
Neil Patrick Harris is 47.
47.
All right. Here is the last birthday
the
for
last
tonight.
Birthday. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Here we go.
All right. This was used as the... This is used as the theme to The Apprentice, wasn't it?
It was.
Oh, I'm scared where you're going with this, Adam.
Do you want the next song?
I do want the...
Okay, here we go. Here is the next one.
Any day now.
Any day now.
No, stop it, stop it. Just stop it, just stop it, just stop it. Stop. This I call shenanigans because his birthday was like last week. His birthday was like last weekend. He was on Flag Day. Is it Donald J. Trump?
It is Donald J. Trump. Yeah, Donald Trump, let's see. Let me go back to my spreadsheet, is 74 years old.
74 years old.
Yeah, and that's your birthdays for tonight.
Those are our birthdays. Do we have contact? Do I need to fire that up? Or
have contact.
We have no contact. Well, you know, you had your chance to talk to Dubious Intent before we ended, and you blew it. So, I mean, you didn't blow it, but thank you.
I mean, some people like to blow it, so
it's true.
News game. It's a news game. It's a news game. What questions will he ask?
It is the Dubious Intent news game. This is a section of the show where Adam will read from the New York Times Friday news quiz. You can play along if you'd like to. Head over to nytimes.com. Search for news quiz, and you too can look for that. I believe there are 11 questions. There have always been 11 questions in the past. Are there 11 questions tonight, Adam?
I'm still searching for it.
Yeah, we're just going to say, there's 11 questions
moment.
Tonight. These are multiple choice questions. I will try to answer it without asking for the multiple choice. If I get stuck, I will ask for what my choices are. And then if I really, really
11.
Get stuck. Yeah, great. Thank you, Adam. If I get really, really stuck, I will ask the chat room for some help. So here we go, Adam. What is the first question?
All right. The first question has a lovely photo. Mm-hmm. The U.S. Supreme Court ruled that a landmark civil rights law protected gay and transgender people.
Yes.
In a decision focused primarily on discrimination, mm-hmm. in which area?
It would be at employment, so at work, right?
The workplace.
Sure. Yes, the work. And yes, the workplace.
That is correct.
Yeah, it's the Civil Rights. Yeah, the 1964 Civil Rights Act, which prevented non-discrimination in the workplace. Yes.
A new outbreak of coronavirus cases connected to a food market led to a partial lockdown of which city?
Oof. This is in China.
China.
What are my choices? What are my choices?
Beijing.
That's China.
Hong Kong.
That's China.
Shanghai.
That's China.
Or Wuhan.
That is of no help. I'm going to go with Beijing because Archer is mouthing Beijing. So it's
you
like,
there is no cheating, Archer.
Yeah, there's definitely cheating here.
I will take you you out back.
I won't get it. Is it Beijing?
It is Beijing.
All right. That was my phone a friend.
Archer, you need to go sit in the corner. Okay. Scientists at the University of Oxford said that an inexpensive and commonly available drug, dexamethasone.
Yes, I talked about this on Pointless Talk.
Deaths in patients with severe COVID-19, the illness caused by the coronavirus.
Yes.
Dexamethasone is what type of drug?
It is a steroid, and it actually is only helpful to people who are already on ventilators. So please don't rush out and try to get dexamethasone or whatever it is. Yeah.
That's correct. It says if the finding announced on Tuesday is borne out, dexamethasone, a steroid, would be the first treatment shown to reduce mortality in severely ill coronavirus patients.
Yep. It's had really good trials, but it's only in the real danger, as I talked about on my show, is that if we run out of ICU space to put people and get people even on the ventilators to start with, then it's no good anyway. So
what you're saying, Daniel, is that Trump rally that's happening tonight.
Is in no danger of spreading anything.
They're just like fumigating the entire building with dexamethasone.
The 12 people that are in there are in no danger of spreading it to anyone. So,
a dispute in which 20 soldiers were. Oh, sorry. What do you call it when you put strength in certain areas of
emphasis,
a sentence.
Yes.
My emphasis, is wrong.
Okay.
Let me start that over.
Okay.
A dispute. I think they need a comma here. A dispute, comma, in which 20 soldiers were killed,
yes,
comma, erupted along China's border with which country? They did not punctuate this correctly.
Wow. It's like China heavy tonight.
I have multiple choice.
All right, what are my multi? I'm not even sure I know what borders.
India.
Is it India,
Nepal.
Adam? Oh, wait, is it India? Is it India?
You just want to guess India?
Yeah, I'm just going to guess India.
You're such a cheater. It is India.
You people, I wish I had the video of this. It's like Archer is mouthing in huge, stage whispers like, India.
I'm surprised he's not writing it on some whiteboard and then putting it up, after each one.
I would not have gotten that. I don't even know. Let's see. So India borders China. Let's see. Let me see if I can name the other three states. I mean, countries that even border China. Taiwan borders China, right?
I have no idea. Don't ask me.
Vietnam, I think. Is Vietnam border China? I know China's big.
I don't know what borders China.
That's right.
Russia, maybe?
Sure, we'll go with Russia.
Okay. After a police officer fatally shot a black man outside a fast food restaurant, the officer was fired and the police chief resigned in which city?
This would have been in Atlanta. And it was a Wendy's. That was the fast food restaurant was Wendy's.
I really like Wendy's.
Yes, I know.
And I just want to say, yes, it is Atlanta, by the way. You are correct. Why is it that Wendy's is such a attracts so many old people? Because I feel like I'm not quite old yet, but I mean there are a lot of elderly people that go to Wendy's.
It's in its name. It's Wendy's old fashioned hamburgers.
I'm prepping. I like a sour cream and chive baked potato every now and again. Mm-hmm. I do.
Oh, Archer thinks it's because the patties are square.
Oh, maybe
the old people the square patties.
I will say this about Wendy's. In their ads,
I used to eat it on toast.
In their ads, they say fresh, never frozen about their beef. That is absolutely correct. The meat comes to the store not frozen.
Yes.
It is never frozen.
Yes.
Until it's made into your... it comes in these packages, these rectangular packages of all these squares. And what we did is we had these metal pans, and we would take them out of the package and put them in the metal pans that then would fit in next to the grill.
Yes.
And then when it is frozen, is you can only use the cooked patty for a certain amount of time before it's considered old.
But
what they would do, and I don't know if they still do this, but what they would do is we would freeze those old patties, and then we would crumble them up to put in the chili the next day.
Oh, so the chili wasn't fresh. The chili was frozen.
The chili was frozen.
But the burgers were fresh.
Yeah. All right. Number 6, which brand will get a new name and image after its owner acknowledged that its origins were based on a racial stereotype?
I think we talked about that tonight here on this show. So it's either Aunt Jemima, Uncle Ben, Mrs. Butterworth, or the Quaker Oats guy. But what are my choices?
Washington Redskins.
No.
Lando Lakes.
No.
Eskimo Pies.
No.
Or Aunt Jemima.
Yeah, it's Aunt Jemima.
Yes, it is Aunt Jemima. All right, number 7. The Trump administration tried to delay the publication of a highly anticipated memoir by which person?
John Bolton.
Indeed it was John Bolton. I kind of want to read that book now.
No, you don't. No, you don't. But, Adam, it's just the same old crap over and over again. It's like I have gotten bilked into buying so many of these political tell-all books that just don't. Just read the New York Times. It'll tell you what any of his...
Well, I'm not going to buy it. I'm just saying I was curious. But I feel like, you know, I'm
mad at him. My favorite political book that I bought was the Hillary Clinton's latest, the last one after the last election, the...
What went wrong?
Yeah, what went wrong? Where in chapter 1, she talks about how she's not going to, you know, blame other people. She's going to take the blame for it herself. The buck stops here. It all stops with her. It's all her fault, and that she's not going to catch her doing anything. And literally, the next chapter is, well, it wasn't my fault. It was this person. It's just like every chapter started with how it wasn't her fault. It was just like going like, yeah.
I don't know. I'm a fan of Hillary. All right, number 8.
It has nothing to do with it. I'm just saying that was her book. Yeah, I bought it. I
understand. I don't think we'd be where we are as a nation right now had she been elected.
My cat decided to come help.
There are some avoidable things. I mean, coronavirus was out of everyone's hands, but sort of. All right. Number 8. Kim. I was going to say something without reading it, but it's not the same Kim.
Not the same.
Let me start that over.
Okay.
Kim Yo-jong of North Korea above criticized President Moon Jae-in of South Korea this week as relations between the two countries deteriorated. Miss Kim is related to the North's leader, Kim Jong-un, in what way?
Isn't she a sister? What are my choices?
Cousin, girlfriend, sister, or wife?
I'm going to go with sister, Adam.
It is sister.
Yay. That was a total guess, but I it's like it couldn't have been the other ones.
I feel like I'm totally butchering those names.
You probably are.
But, you know, that's fine. That's what we do around here. Okay, so number 9.
Yes?
As part of the movement to topple perceived symbols of racism and oppression in the U.S., a statue was removed in Albuquerque. It was a monument to which person? Would you like the choices?
Albuquerque, New Mexico.
That's in New Mexico. I believe that's where... did Gary used to live in New Mexico?
Yeah. Gary used to live in Albuquerque. Was it a statue of Gary Bearden?
That's not one of the choices. Oh, is that your final answer? Okay.
No, that's not my final answer. You know, it's his birthday today. Did you, you didn't play...
I didn't have a theme song.
You didn't have a theme song for Gary Bearden?
I should have sang, happy birthday to you.
You could have sang it normally. You could have just sang it live, and I would have been like, that is Gary Bearden. I mean, Gary Bearden.
Happy birthday to you.
Oh, there he goes.
Happy birthday, dear Gary. Happy birthday to you. Sorry about that.
That's right.
Special guest star, Gary Burden.
Gary Burden from the audience, ladies and gentlemen. All right. So what are my choices? Because I don't know.
You have a conquistador, a Native American, a Confederate soldier, or Christopher Columbus.
I feel like
is that you Googling? Because I hear typing.
Yeah, you do hear typing, and I'm not Googling. I'm trying to bring up some music. I feel like those. I feel like because I've been watching that wall, Adam. Because you told me about watching the wall
is so suspenseful,
and I feel like maybe you know this is like one of those things where it's like, well, I know that it can't be this because so I was trying to like get some music going here. Let's see if I can get this going. Okay. Well, Adam, I know that it's probably not a Confederate statue because it's New Mexico and they weren't involved in the Civil War. You know, they are Mexican and they're New Mexicans and there were some conquistadors there. That sounds very Mexican. So, Adam, I think I'm going to go with conquistador. Lock it in.
Okay. Oh, it is a conquistador. You know, I was thinking it was Christopher Columbus because somebody wanted to, I don't know who, but somebody wanted to knock down a statue of Christopher Columbus. Well, yeah. And I didn't realize that was he like a slave trader or something? Or I don't know.
Christopher Columbus was like a horrible person.
I don't know. Crazy. I mean, I could Google it, but I don't know what he did. But I feel like if he's a bad person, first of all, I think everybody back then were bad people. I mean,
I don't
mostly.
Think it's all right. So, despite of Christopher Columbus's past, I think the main objection is that he didn't discover anything. America existed. There were Native Americans here. He's like, he didn't like discover him. He's not like, oh, he discovered America.
He sailed the ocean blue in 1492.
Right. He found a place that was already populated and went like, oh, I have a flag. Right. It was just like,
yes, you are absolutely right.
No, I'm saying that's the objection. The objection is like, what did he discover? He came over here and basically like found a place that was already populated. So.
But I mean, we're all going to have to find a really large place to move.
But I mean,
when we give
that's
the
not the
States
point. The point
back.
Is, why are we celebrating this guy for like, you know, finding a place that already existed?
No, I mean, but I've thought about that before. I'm like, you know, yes, that was absolutely wrong. But there are a whole bunch of people now that live here. You know, that aren't
really
here.
They have nothing to do with him.
Like, no, that's true. All right. The journalist.
You do remember that Christopher Columbus was not a pilgrim, right? he was here for Spain, right?
No, I understand. I know that, but he discovered.
He discovered the New World.
I'm sure these audio listeners can hear my air quotes. Yeah, yeah. They hear them.
They can.
Discovered. Yes. Okay. The number 10, the journalist Maria Ressa was convicted of cyber libel by a court in which country?
Oh, wow.
Cyber libel.
What are my choices?
Indonesia, mm-hmm. Mexico, mm-hmm. the Philippines, mm-hmm. or Thailand?
Well, Adam, cyber libel sounds like something that would happen in the Philippines. You know, Mittens was the son of an envelope farmer in the Philippines, and Adam, I'm gonna go with Philippines. Is it Philippines?
It is the Philippines. I was actually looking at a picture. I was like, do these people look Filipino to me? I don't know. It's hard to tell. Actually, this is probably racist, but I'm going to say it anyway. If you ever look at someone and you think they look like they're Mexican, mm-hmm. they're probably Filipino.
They're probably Filipino.
That Mark, everyone thinks Mark's Mexican.
Right. Yeah.
No, that's what he tells me.
We have a lot of really proud Filipino listeners like Nico Martinez and Joe Zubia or Zubia.
Well, yeah. Nico probably hates me now, but you know, It's the risk I take. All right. Number 11.
Mm-hmm.
Gene Kennedy.
Oh, this is the last question. Oh.
Yeah. Yes. Number. Yeah. Last question.
All right. I'm ready. I'm ready.
Gene Kennedy Smith, the last surviving sibling of former President John F. Kennedy, died on Wednesday at 92.
92 years young.
She was the first Kennedy woman of her generation to take on a serious political role when in the 1990s she was named the U.S. ambassador to which country?
I think I know this. I think is it Ireland? Is that one of my choices? One of my choices, Ireland.
That is one of your choices.
I think it is Ireland.
It is Ireland.
There we go. Now we're talking. So
now,
Adam,
Daniel.
Yes. How do I score out of 11 questions?
You have a tainted score. Your score is tainted.
I'm willing to take the two. I'm willing to take two losses.
Chicanery. Shenanigans, whatever that went goopery, on during went on this mm-hmm. Frippery, would that be
the frippery, the goopery, the gaggery, yes.
It says here you got 11 out of 11.
But I know we know I missed two.
But yeah.
So nine. We'll take nine. Well, I'll take a nine.
All right, take a nine, Daniel.
All right. Well, there you go. Next week when we do our live show, the news quiz is going to be condensed. So you know. We will not have 11. You'll pick out the best. They'll probably all be China questions. It's like, I'm just going to have to like study like for the SAT this week and just keep reading every foreign news story that like comes across. And it's like,
I found out today I need to pick any question that has geography.
Okay, it's true. It's true. All right. I think this is going to end. Here we go. Wow. This goes on, doesn't it? Wait, no, wait, it ends. It ends.
We should ask
for
if anyone ever wanted to have Contact played on Dubious Intent, you know,
as
next
last
week
show.
Is the last.
Yeah, but then it would be our
intent.
Entire show would be we run the risk of our entire show being.
We may not play it, but you should, you know, we'll read it and have you in our hearts.
Because we're going to I know listen. That one of the like when I do that trivia show. I'm thinking one of the questions is going to be, what does Big Fatty's fat cave smell like?
What does it smell like?
Cabbage and poppers, Adam. That's what I'm saying. It smells like cabbage and poppers. So
I don't remember. That was earlier.
You've stayed there. You've stayed at the newly renovated. I think I went to a hotel. I didn't stay at the fat cave.
Yeah,
I went
because
to a hotel.
you could not be bothered. To stay, I mean, you're like, no, I'm not staying with someone. No, I will rent a room because I do not stay with people.
Don't know that that's necessarily a true statement.
I mean, you probably had things you wanted to do.
I had things I wanted to do.
People you wanted to see.
There was people I did.
You know,
I think
you had
the
pressing
circus,
business in
the circus
town,
was in town that night, and there was things that I wanted to see. Hey, speaking of circuses.
You know, I didn't know that was a category of circus performer. Like, the hugely hung man.
It is,
you know,
yeah.
Come out.
Yeah.
Come one, come all.
He worked for Ringling Brothers. He was lovely, and he was three doors down from where I was staying. Anyway, Adam, have you seen this Trump rally that's been going on today?
Well, you know, I know there is one going on, or there was. I mean,
there
it may
was,
be over by now.
I'm
who
pretty
knows?
Sure it's over now. But for all I know, literally the world has, you know, like Tulsa has like exploded into something.
I have no idea. I know earlier on this Zoom cocktail hour that we were having, people were talking about it and how not very many people had shown up. But you know, I don't know. The only thing I have to say about it is I think it's par for the course, but I struggle because why you would have an event where you're putting people at risk like that. I just, you know, it's
well,
beyond
know,
me. It is beyond me.
I hypothesized on that on the last Pointless Talk about why I believe.
Well, you thought he was, you know, I think this is way too, first of all, it's a stretch. So what you were thinking is that he wants to get them sick. Like mm-hmm. he's strategically trying to get all of his fans
yeah.
sick. And that they'll be immune come like November yeah. or whatever.
Yep.
So they can go to the polls and vote for him.
Right.
Or whatever. I don't know. I mean, I think that's a little bit of a stretch. It
feeds right into his ego. It's like, so what happened here is a 19,000 seat arena and nowhere near 19,000 people showed up. He's still probably got, you know, a good 6,000 or 7,000 people there.
You know, tomorrow there'll be all these photos that will show it completely full.
Yeah.
And on Twitter, he'll be calling everything fake news.
Oh, yeah, of course he's going to come. But I mean, there's pictures. There's too many pictures from the arena showing just the empty seats.
His inauguration, like the photos that were like, you know, photoshopped or cropped in so it looked like more people than it was, or that military parade that I think you talked about.
Literally go and look at his Twitter account right now, and the video that's playing there only shows it from certain angles to show, you know, all the people back behind him, and, you know, to show like it looks like a full arena, but it definitely was not a full arena. They had overflow stages outside for when the BOC Center filled up, that they would, you'd be able to watch yeah. outside. They disassembled that stage whenever, because they needed people to not stand outside. They wanted them to go inside and do it. And I don't know. It was just kind of a,
well, I will say this. It yeah. gives me a little bit more faith in humanity that it didn't fill to capacity, because I thought, you know, all of his fans or whatever you want to call them, followers, you know, are all so ignorant that they would just be like, you know, go in and he'd have a full arena or whatever. So it gives me a little bit more faith in humanity that maybe there are even some people that have some intelligence, even among people who do support him, you know, and did not show up because they thought it would be, you know.
Or it just shows that, you know, that. Yeah, I mean, yeah, I agree with you. Okay, so, or it just, you know, shows that maybe the support for him is not as much as he thinks that it is, right? Because
that would be hopeful as well.
Right,
I'll take either one of those.
In theory, he was talking about, you know, a million people requested tickets for this, and, you know, it's going to be huge, and, you know, blah, 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 blah. But it was, ultimately, they couldn't even fill a 19,000-seat arena. And, you know, to try to make it into anything else is also, it was just so weird for him to have a rally in Oklahoma. What does that do? You carried Oklahoma, but like 1700 points. You know what I'm saying?
It's, well,
like,
you know,
on a 100-point scale, you carried Oklahoma by 300 points. So it's just like, why are you campaigning there? It's not like you're in danger of not carrying Oklahoma.
I hate to say this because it's where I'm from, but I think a majority of his base is these redneck hicks.
Yeah, but
in all the states like where I live, and Oklahoma is one of those redneck hick sort of states. So he went there because he thought he had the best chance of like filling up the stadium at like a podunk redneck hick state. Sorry, Oklahoma. I don't mean to put you in any of our Oklahoma listeners. I'm putting Arkansas squarely into that as well.
See, now
he could have, like, you know.
Mac Zook in the chat room says, apparently K-pop fans on TikTok bought all the tickets.
Oh. I know there's a big...
The tickets were free.
K-pop
stands? Is that what the fans
of K-pop are called?
It depends on which one. Like, if you're a BTS fan, then you're a member of the BTS Army.
Oh.
I can't believe you don't know that, Adam.
There was all this confiscating of, I don't know if confiscating is the correct word, but appropriating of hashtags where all the K-pop fans were like, you know, I don't know, like using hashtags for other things other than what they were intended, so that people would get, like, you know, K-pop videos when they did a search for certain hashtags. Anyway, I'm speaking of things I don't know, so I'll just
yes, you are. It's like an episode. It's like an episode of Geeky Gay.
I'm always doing that. You know, we should really just. Do you have anything else to say?
I don't. I'm waiting for it. You to.
I think we should just move on with this bitch.
Dubious Intent is written, recorded, and distributed under Creative Commons. Give us a call on the voicemail line, 479-221-9393, or send us an email, contact@dubiousintent.com. What was that look for?
No, I mean, the live audience is just hoodlums all. It had nothing to do with
They're that. Enjoying, you know, air guitar playing with the with our Rocky theme songs. Yeah.
You know what you should have said earlier? So earlier you were asked, you know, who wrote or performed the opening and closing. You should have said, oh, I composed those.
Yeah, I did that.
You know, that was me. All myself.
All right. Well, Adam, you know, next Saturday, we're going to be doing a live show on the Pride 48 weekend. So we'll be down to an hour. Make sure you tune in at 11 p.m. Over at pride48.com. And I think it's a charity thing that we're going to do. So come over there and support us for that. We would appreciate it.
Yeah. Dubious intent for charity.
Good night, chat.
Good night, David.